Y'all ready? If I sit down, it's because I'm still sore from my jet ski incident last week. We're getting there. I am not as young as I used to be. Praise God. All right. So the sermon this morning, God, is called Following God Fully. Everybody say that with me. Following God Fully. Oh, that looks much more comfy. There we go, bro. Thank you so much. We'll see if we need it. Amen. And guys, we're gonna look at Caleb. This might be our last sermon in this little series we've been in, but we've been looking at this story of the 10 spies, the 10 bad spies, and the 2 good spies, and Caleb and Joshua and all this stuff. Amen. And I'm going to try to tie some stuff together, including Pastor Al's sermon last Sunday. If you did not hear that, I'd recommend that you listen to it. It was a pretty good one. Amen. So what I want to talk to you this morning a little bit, and it's something that he said, a couple things he said last Sunday really sparked something in my spirit. And the Lord's been bringing things back that he spoke to me years ago. Anybody ever have that? Isn't it good? When God starts stirring things that have been dormant for a little bit, right? And so what I want to talk to you, one thing we're going to start talking about, and just see kind of where this goes. I'd recommend that you read my notes because I may not stick real close to them either, but the notes are pretty good as well. Amen. So I want to talk to you a little bit this morning to start about life goals. Everybody say life goals. Life goals, right? And in our culture, you know, because we're Americans and we're Western culture and we're successful and prosperous and all these things, right? We talk a lot about life goals, and people get life coaches, and we have guidance counselors in school. You know, we take 6-year-old kids. What do you want to be when you grow up, right? I mean, we have all these goals in life. Can I get amen, church? Right? And is that all right? It's cool, right? I mean, we don't, you know, hopefully we don't want 45-year-old folks living in their parents' basement and stuff like that, right? We should get a job and move out and all that, right? We're going to train our kids to, you know, go to college or whatever they're going to do, get a job, manage their money, all these things, right? Do you understand what I'm saying? So in our culture, good, right? But what the Lord has been showing me, and I've been struggling this for a while, but I really feel like he locked something in for me last Sunday, was that we have mixed, I'm going to say it like that, we have mixed the kingdom of God with the American dream. We've been blending these two things together, and this is what I mean, just so we don't misunderstand. Our culture suggests, our church culture in America suggests that if you're serving God, that you're going to be very successful financially. And I'm not even talking about the prosperity gospel. Can I get amen? Right? If we see somebody who's struggling financially, we automatically assume in our culture that they must be doing something wrong. Now, maybe they are, but you know what I'm saying. But and we look at someone who's doing well financially, we automatically assume they must be doing something right. And they very well may not be. Can I get amen, church? Right? There's just one example. So here, I'm going to try to just hang on with me as I try to grind this thing out. Amen? Pastor last Sunday was talking a little bit about feeling like we accomplished something for God. Right? How many, just raise your hands and look around. How many of you have been walking with the Lord for 20 years or more? Right? Let's hit 30. I'm not that old yet, y'all. How about 40? Keep your hands up. Look around a little bit. How about 50? Anybody? We got anybody 50 years in? No, you ain't that old, girl. Come on. All right, so you understand what I'm saying? Now, if we've been walking with the Lord for 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, whatever it is, how many of us, let's be real, we're just being family this morning, amen? How many of us can look back over 30 years or 40 years and look back and we've had to at least fight off thoughts like, man, what have I really done for the Lord? Right? I can't, what can I look back at and look at, whoa, I did that, right? I built that, or I accomplished this, right? Let's face it, church, I think most of us look at our lives and we say, man, I feel like I've kind of wasted the last 20 years or 30 years or 40 years. Is that right? Right? And boy, the enemy has a field day with that stuff, doesn't he? right? We could look, some of you have, how many of you have been in this church for 20 years or more? Raise your hands, right? 30, we haven't been there, we haven't been around that long, amen? Close, next year, amen? But church, sometimes we can, if we've been in this church for more than, say, 10 years, we can look around and say, man, why isn't this church doing X, right? Fill in the blank. Why hasn't it grown? Why hasn't it this? Why hasn't it that? And all of these thoughts, church, you know what? None of those thoughts are going to put you somewhere good. I know that because I bought the t-shirt. I got the DVD for that one. Can I get amen? Right? All those thoughts, and you start heading down that path, whether it's, you know, church, ministry, could be your personal life, looking back and think, man, I'm 50 years old, I'm 60 years old, whatever. I thought I would have got more done by now. Right? But church, find me a guy in the Bible, except for a guy like maybe Solomon or something who built the temple. But find me guys in the Bible that really accomplished much of anything. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm talking about in our sense of accomplishing something. Like, look, I built that. Look, point, I see it right there, right? These guys are wandering around. They got no food to eat. They got no clothes to wear. I mean, most of these guys that were really serving the Lord were poor. They're like, I mean, Jesus himself says, the son of, right, the birds of the air have nests, the foxes of the ground have holes, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Jesus was homeless, church. Right. Homeless like we think of homeless. He ain't homeless. You know what I'm saying? He just knows this ain't home. Right. Right. So hang on this concept with me, because we're going to build something here that I guarantee is going to help you. Can I get amen? We've adopted a paradigm that there is some type of proverbial finish line in life. We view our lives as a journey. That's good, right? It is a journey. Can I get amen, right? We start it and we finish it. And during the time in between, we want to be able to look back and say that we accomplished something meaningful, right? We made an impact. We can say, yes, did it, whatever your thing is. Can I get amen? But what if, church, listen to this. What if rather than viewing my life as a journey all by itself, I saw my life as fitting into a journey or a race that started before I got here and will continue after I'm gone? What if I realize that though I personally have a starting line and a finish line, right, on earth, right, I was born and I'm going to die, that my life is more than just the few decades that I'm on the earth and whatever I may accomplish while I'm here? Maybe we're part of something bigger than us. I'm going to be really honest with y'all this morning, right? I'm just going to use me so nobody gets offended and mad, all right? As a pastor, in America, man, you know, the number one thing we got to fight, any pastors want to fill in the blank, because we'll all say the same thing. Come on. Why isn't my church growing? How come that church is growing and my church ain't growing? What am I doing wrong? Church, I spent about 2.5 years wandering around that, wandering in those weeds. Can I get amen? And that's all it is. It's a bunch of weeds. Can I get amen, church? Because you know what we say in America? Oh, look at how fruitful that person's ministry is. We're not using the words properly. The Bible says the fruit is what? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, meekness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. I think that's online. Can I get amen, church? You know what? John Bevere says this. I didn't say this, so don't get mad, all right, if this comes out. All right, John Bevere says this. He says, you know what, church? He says, folks, I've been in churches with thousands of people in them, not an ounce of God in the place. Okay, dead as a doornail, right? Great leadership, dynamic people, great music, right? But not an ounce of God in the place, right? I met with a new friend of mine this week for lunch. Not going to mention his name. I really like this guy. We're new friends. He's a local minister. And I said, bro, there's 1,000 books out there, 12 steps to build a bigger church, right? If that was really what I felt God wanted us to do, I'd be reading lots of books about it, because it ain't that hard. Right? If you want to build a church, just make the church palpable for people. Make it what people want and they'll show up. Problem is, God might not show up. I'm just going to leave it at that. I didn't look at nobody. The Bible, I was reading Titus this morning. The Bible warns us time and time again. You start serving people, you're going to, Pastor, how do you say it, man, right? If you follow the sheep, you step in their poop. Pastor also said that to say that. Man, right? We got all of our chickens, man. Yesterday morning, we was at home, and the three bigger kids were outside, and the chickens are all over, man. They wait at the door. They want to come inside like a dog or something. We got chickens at our house, y'all. You see that? So Elena was crawling around over by the front door, and all of a sudden, Missy's like, what is she eating? And it was chicken poop. Yes. Parenting fails right there. Praise God. It's a miracle my kids are all alive still. It really is. Church, here we go. Ready? Proverbs. So this is so crazy, man. This week I was grinding on this message. And a couple days ago I was just reading. I read a proverb almost every day. Amen. Book of wisdom. We need some wisdom in our culture, right? So I opened up to Proverbs, and I was just asking the Holy Spirit, what proverb do I read today, right? And 13 just kept coming to me. So I opened up to Proverbs 13, and here's what verse 22 says. And I said, oh, yes, Lord, I knew it was the right one. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. So let's again talk about our culture in America and then talk about the kingdom, right? Because America, inheritance in America is money. But church, maybe some of you know folks, maybe some of you watching on Facebook know people that come from very affluent families, right? There's lots of money, and the dad dies or the patriarch dies, right? And leaves all kinds of money, but the family is a disaster, right? They don't talk to each other. There's the marriage is a mess. The kids are a mess, right? Okay, so there's money, right? There's lots of money going around, but there's no inheritance there, right? And some of us might know other folks that are, hey, gang, ain't got no money, right? There's no money. Ain't got nothing, right? But when they die, there's a rich inheritance that's passed down to their children and their children's children. You understand what I'm saying, church? Look, we cannot get caught up in thinking that because I didn't build something that fits into the American version of success, that I got nothing to pass down to my children. Do you see what I'm saying? The Lord reminded me of something yesterday morning or the morning before as I was working on this, and I've been pastor here for 8.5 years, right? It was about 7 years ago or so, the Lord started telling me this. He said, son, you should be looking for the next pastor of this church already. I was like, yo, am I fired already? Like, I just started. I couldn't have messed up that bad already, man. Come on. Right? But, and this is something, again, the Lord's stirring this stuff in my spirit, right? And now that I've been in it a little bit, I'm realizing what God's saying to me. He says, this church is not about you. I didn't build this church for you. I planted this church for me, and it's going to make it past you. See, church, if I get caught up in that this thing is all about me, I'm going to build stuff that makes me look good. And when folks don't get on track with what I think we should be doing, that's going to make me look good. You know how I'm going to treat those folks? I'm not going to treat them very good because you are messing up what I'm trying to build. But if I realize that this place ain't about me, it's about the kingdom of God, then that's going to change how I deal with things that don't go the way I want them to go. Can I get an amen from anybody? I messed that up just one time. Last week. Just one time last week. See, church, God's saying if you get caught up in your legacy and your time and your tenure, then you're going to make a mess out of something. But what he says, what you need to understand, this church will outlast you And your job is to lay up an inheritance for your sons. Right? I didn't start this church and I'm not going to finish it, but I do need to run my leg of the race and pass the baton to the next generation. All right, let me throw a little side note in there. I told you we probably ain't going to stick on my notes this morning. Amen. This is going to help somebody. I'll probably preach a whole sermon about this sometime in the future. But we all know the parable of the talents, right? Five talents, two talents, one talent. If you don't know that parable, I'll paraphrase it super fast, right? Jesus gives a parable about these three guys. The master comes in, gives one guy five talents, one guy two talents, one guy one talent, and then he leaves. He gives no instruction of what to do, right? He just leaves. He goes on a long journey, and the Bible says that the five-talent guy makes five more, the two-talent guy makes two more, the one-talent guy buries the talent, and when the master comes back, the five-talent guy says, look, I've made five, well done. Look, the two guys says, I made two more, well done. The one guy says, master, I knew you to be a hard master. Reaping where you haven't sown. The master says, well, if you knew me like that, then you should have at least put my talent in the bank and give me some interest. But because you were lazy, a wicked and lazy servant, he says, take what has been, what is his, and give it to the one with 10. And cast that lazy servant out into outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Right? Pastor, you're like, man, where are you going with this one? Right? Church, here's the thing. I've never heard this taught like this. I don't know why, but ready? You know what a talent is? Anybody ever hear this? I've talked to a couple of you about this. Church, a talent is 15 years' wages. One. That's the Greek word. A talent is 15 years' wages. So just close your eyes. However much money you make in a year, Multiply that times 15. Use zeros, all right? Don't get real precise about it. Amen. If you make 50 grand a year, multiply it times 15. It's like 750 grand, I think. If you make 100 grand a year, multiply it times 15, 1.5 million, right? Now what you got to understand, this is the parable. Jesus is saying the five-talent guy gets 75 years worth of money. The two-talent guy gets 30 years worth of money. The one-talent guy gets 15 years worth of money. Do you understand what I'm saying, church? And I've always understood, I've been, why is the one-talent guy, why is the master so angry at this guy? Because, church, we think of talent in American church as talents. Like, I can sing, I can dance, I can do whatever, right? I can speak. It's a talent. It's an ability. But God says, that's not the parable, son. The parable is what I have done is giving you an ability. I've given you substance that you can make an impact in your world. You can change something in your sphere of influence. You understand what I'm saying, church? Imagine if God's given you a dream and then he cuts you a check. If you're just the one talent guy, you get a check. He says, here's a check for 15 years worth of how much money you'd make. Go do something with it. Right? You see what I'm saying, church? But again, we're talking about building, right? Why is the master so angry? Because this guy does nothing. He does nothing with this 15 years. Church, imagine somebody gives you $1 million. Check. Go do something with it. Do you see it? Does that make sense at all? Are y'all completely lost? Go read that parable. I'm telling you, it's true. Amen? Let me make one more point that we're going to dig on. We're going to head on in this sermon. So church, please don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that God can't give you a dream or a vision or a calling or something that you can like finish. You understand what I'm saying? Right? If God tells you to build a business, then build a business. God tells you to go work this job somewhere, go work the job. But understand in your spirit that just building that business is not like, okay, my business is built, I'm done. You want to know when the finish line is? It's when Jesus comes back. That's the end of the race, right? And until he comes back, we just got to keep running, carrying our baton, and if my race is over and Jesus ain't come back, then I hand it on to the next guy, and say, look, I've taken my one talent or my two talents or my five talents, and I've done something with it. I've got more than I started with, and I'm passing it on to you now. Here you go. Now you got five talents, or you got 10 talents, or you got however many I passed on. Can I get amen? Is that making sense, church? Hebrews 11:13, pastor brought this last Sunday. It says this. Some of us know this one pretty well, but it says, all these, say it with me. Is it up there? Oh, say that one with me. Doesn't it feel good? All these died in faith without receiving the promises, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth, right? Look, the writer of Hebrews is really saying this, that they didn't receive the promises, not yet. Everybody say not yet. So Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Caleb, Noah, all those guys in Hebrews 11, church, like the list goes on and on. None of them physically received the promise of God, but they welcomed it or embraced it or saw it as an absolute truth. God gave me this vision. It's going to happen. It's going to happen, right? When God promised Abraham, church, think about this. It says, God says what? In your seed, all the nations of the earth will be blessed, right? We know that? You all know that one? Okay, but we have to understand what God is saying, because Paul teaches it like this. Paul brings some understanding to it. Paul says that God doesn't say to Abraham, in your seeds, with an S, all the nations of the earth will be blessed, but in your seed, as in one, right? The seed is Christ. Do you see what I'm saying, church? So Abraham has Isaac, that's not the promise. Isaac has Jacob, that's not the promise. Jacob has 12 sons, nation of Israel, that's not the promise, church. That's not the promise, right? Because one of those 12 sons is Judah. Judah is the lineage that Jesus Christ comes through. Do you understand what I'm saying? That what Abraham didn't see billions and billions of kids, that, hey, these are all my offspring. What Abraham saw was the Messiah. The Christ is coming through my loins. Hebrews 11 describes Moses like this. It says he, rather than enjoying the passing pleasures of sin, he rather decided to suffer the reproaches of, who knows what it says right there, fill in the blank, Christ. Moses, while he was on the earth, turned his back on Egypt to suffer the reproaches of Christ. Church, Christ didn't come on the earth for like 2,600 years. But Moses saw something. I see that. Right? Pastor, last week talked about Chronos time, Kairos time, and heavenly time. Moses rose up above Chronos, above Kairos, and he was up in the heavenly time. He says, whoa. I know that's coming. I don't know when it's coming, but I know it's coming. Now I'm going to back up and do what I got to do to help that thing come. You see a church, right? That's what we've got to see, right? If I look at what I can see, Peter says it like this, right? We do not fix our eyes on what is seen, because what is seen is temporal, but we fix our eyes on what is not seen, because not what is not seen, what is unseen, is eternal, right? Well, how do I see what's unseen? You got to spend some time in with the Holy Ghost. Amen. The end of Hebrews 11, church, says this. Then we're going to drive it home. We'll be done by 2. Hebrews 11, the last two verses, this is so powerful. Guys, get this. It says, and all these meaning everybody that he just mentioned in this chapter, right, all these Old Testament heroes, all these having gained approval through their, say it with me, faith, right, did not receive what was promised, right? Everybody say, because. Because God had provided something better for who? So that apart from us, they, Old Testament heroes, would not be made perfect, right? How many races are we running here, church? There's one race, man. All right. It started with creation and it's going to end when Jesus rips the sky open and comes back. That's it. Right. Your job is to figure out what is my position in this race, right? Am I going to be this? Am I going to be this? Who cares if you're five talents? Who cares if you're two? Who cares if you're one? Just grab onto whatever God gave you and do it with all your heart. You know, many people I talk to say, Pastor, what am I supposed to do? You know what? Maybe your only job on the earth is to lead your family to Christ. Maybe that's it. If you're like, well, I want to do something amazing. Look, if you do that, when you get up there, you're going to realize how amazing what you just did was. We've got to get this American gospel out of our system, church. It's the devil, man, I'm telling you. I want to have a huge church. I want to, oh my goodness gracious, stop it. It is a lie. It's a lie. If you look at what's going on in the church today, it's falling apart, church. These big ministries with the fancy stuff, it's falling apart. Can I get amen? Because God, church, is stirring. The Bible says judgment begins in the house of God. God says, look, I don't like what's happened to my bride. I'm going to shake it up. I'm going to get it cleaned up. Church, we ain't done. He's just cleaning it up. Can I get amen? Yeah? Don't get shook if you see stuff going on out there. It's all right. We're going to make it. Yeah? Joshua 14, turn there with me. We're going to finish up right here. Is this all right with everybody? I'm going to drive it home. You're going to like it. If you don't like it, then just pray about it. And you'll like it someday. Everybody, say amen when you're there, Joshua 14. So we're talking about Caleb, right? I said all that to bring us back to Caleb, right? Verse 6 in Joshua 14. Then the sons of Judah, what tribe does Jesus come from? Judah, right? The sons of Judah draw near to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, you know the word which the Lord spoke to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spout the land, and I brought word back to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt with fear. But, say this together with me, church, but what? I followed the Lord my God fully. Right? Some translations say wholeheartedly. Right? Now, let me just pause just for a moment. Church, again, I said this a couple weeks ago, the law does not exist yet. At this point, the only thing they've received is the Ten Commandments spoken to them off the top of the mount, from the top of the mountain, right? All these 682, 765 laws, whatever it is, none of that stuff applies yet, right? So when Caleb talks about following the Lord my God fully, he's not talking about the checklist, like, check, okay, number one, check, number two, check, number three, check, 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 like, because that's what we think, right? We think in America, where's the pool rules, right? I mean, what do I got to do to follow God fully? You understand? This is not about rights and wrongs, amen? Verse 9. So Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land on which your foot has trodden will be, everybody say, an inheritance. An inheritance to you and to your children forever. Because, everybody say because. Because you have followed the Lord my God fully. Now behold, the Lord has let me live, just as he spoke these 45 years from the time that the Lord spoke this word to Moses when Israel walked in the wilderness. And now behold, I'm 85 years old today. We got nobody in this building that's 85 years old yet. Praise God. Look at what he says, verse 11. I am still as strong today as I was in the day Moses sent me. As my strength was then, so my strength is now. For war and for going out and coming in. Now then, give me this hill country about which the Lord spoke on that day. For you heard on that day that Anakim were there with great fortified cities. Perhaps the Lord will be with me, and I will drive them out as the Lord has spoken. Amen. So, church, this is going to be so good. It's good to me. All right. So if y'all don't like it, too bad. Caleb grew up as a slave in Egypt. Listen to this, right? And was a firsthand witness of all the 12 plagues that God poured out on Egypt when they came to the promised land and went in, right? He comes through the Red Sea. I mean, Caleb was lived through all this stuff, right? They came to the promised land and went in. His heart swelled with faith in anticipation for what the Lord was going to do, only to have his brethren bring an evil report and turn the people's hearts away from the Lord. So think about this. Caleb did nothing wrong. Caleb did nothing wrong. Right? You could look at like Abraham, took him 25 years, but that guy was a train wreck. All right? Read Abraham's story. What a mess that guy was. Moses murdered somebody. Right? He sees his brethren being abused by an Egyptian, and he kills this Egyptian, and he runs, right? He's a murderer. You get Joseph with the coat of many colors, right? He probably shouldn't have shared this dream that he had, right? He's a cocky little kid. Oh, look at this dream I had. Y'all going to worship, right? Whatever. Joseph probably should have kept his mouth shut. That's probably what got him in trouble. Amen. So you could see some of these other guys that had time go by, that had to endure this season of waiting and all these things. And could say maybe you could kind of see maybe they kind of had it coming a little bit, right? Right? Can I get amen? Right? You know, sometimes we do things and like it's our own fault, like we're the ones that cause a delay, right? But Caleb didn't do none of that stuff, church. Caleb was—he's like the poster child, man, right? He's like the poster child for how you're supposed to walk with God, right? Enoch is like another one, right? Enoch was pleasing to God, and God just boom, just took him up. Didn't even die. Can I get amen? So I want you to just, let's slow down for just a minute here. And I want you guys to just like close your eyes. And I want you to just imagine yourself as Caleb right when God says, you're going to wander for 40 years. Forget that you know the end of the story, right? Be Caleb right there. Be Caleb right there. Just think about that for a minute, right? And I want you to, as you're thinking about that, I want you to think about this. I think we could all say that we've had times, maybe it's in church, maybe it's personal life, when we knew that we were right on the doorstep of a breakthrough, right? I know it. I can feel it. I can sense it. We've had times in this church like that where we're right there, right? And we could all say that there's times that maybe we blew it, you know? Maybe we kind of got a little, you know, and we kind of back off. But I think we could also say that there's times when we were ready. Lord, bring it. And somebody else is the reason that we didn't go in. Do you see that, church? This is what happened to Caleb, man. Caleb is this guy is ready, man. I've followed God fully. I've got a different spirit, man. I'm ready. Give me this land. And because of the fear of his colleagues, cost him 40 years. 16,500 days, give or take. I did the math. 16,000 days, man. I've only been alive for 41 years, for crying out loud. Could you imagine somebody else costing you half your life? Church, just let's be real here, man. How are you going to feel about those folks? Come on, man. Somebody cuts us off in traffic and we ain't feeling too good about them. Do you see where we're going with this one? I want to talk to you for the rest of the morning, which is like 6 minutes. Praise God. It's going to be longer than that. The morning is going to stretch out. God's going to make the sun stand still so we can defeat these enemies right here. Amen. Look. The two things I want to show you just in a few moments here, church, is that Caleb followed God fully And he was as strong after the delay as he was before the delay. Look, I'm just going to be real with y'all, all right? If I was Caleb, because this is what God says. Look, you're going to wander 40 years, 1 year for every day that you spot at the land. Every day that you should have been saying, God's going to do this, God's going to do this, God's going to do this. And they were saying, ah, God's not going to do it, God's not going to do it. 1 year for every day, right? But then God says, until this unbelieving generation dies off. Is that what the Bible says, church, right? Right? So if I'm Caleb right there, okay, I'm just being real, y'all. If I'm Caleb right then, I'd been like, I'd have pulled Joshua aside and let's just kill them all. I mean, if we got to wait for that to die, let's just kill him. I mean, Elijah killed 400 prophets of Baal. I mean, come on. God's all right with that stuff. It's Old Testament. Man. We can kill folks in the Old Testament. I mean, if that's what we got to wait for, man, let's just cut that cancer out of here and get down to business, man. We could kill, it's only 10 spies and a few hundred people. We could kill them in like an hour, man. We're in, bro. Let's do it. Come on, church, let's be real, man. And the Holy Spirit said to me, this has been about a month, this one's been grinding on me. The Holy Spirit said to me, son, you've thought that. You've looked at River Valley, and why do we go up and go down? Go up and up. Dude, I'm getting seasick on this thing, man. Like, just let me off the ride, please. I can't make it. I want to barf. Man, and he says, you know, you've thought this. If those people would just leave, we'd break through. Man, that did not feel good. Anybody ever get taken to the woodshed once in a while by the Holy Ghost? He showed me my heart, and I was like, there's no way that's mine. That must have snuck in there while I was sleeping last night, like the tares, right? They snuck in the field and planted some bad stuff in there. But the whole church, I'm being straight with you, right? The Lord showed me he says, son, your heart, you don't have a Caleb heart. Come on, man. Caleb was willing to put up with these 40 years because that's what God said. God said, look, and here's the thing. You want to know how you can make it through 40 years? And church, I'm not prophesying a literal 40 years here, right? I really, honestly, as I was working on this week, I felt like God's saying to me, you're almost done with your wilderness, bro. You're almost done. Don't give up now, right? If you don't quit, you will reap, right? Jesus says if you endure to the end, you'll be saved. Can't give up. Amen? But church, I'm telling you what, man, it was this, boy, it was so pierced my heart. I said, oh, God, forgive me. Because Caleb was like, look, I don't want any of these people, even though they're costing me 40 years, I don't want bad things to happen. I mean, he's pleading with them in Numbers 14. Don't rebel against God. Come on, guys. God is going to give you this land too. He wants you to have it. He wants you to have it. Come on. Just don't give in to fear. Don't give in. God wants you to have it. Amen. See, I always read that scripture about I'm as strong now as I always pictured like this 85-year-old dude that's just yoked. I mean, this guy's got like the dancing pecs. You know those guys that can make their pecs dance up and down? It's a guy, that's man, all right? That's not inappropriate. Come on, folks. I mean, this guy's ripped, man. Six-pack, 85. You ever meet 85-year-old guys that are jacked up? Man, don't mess with those guys because they've been around. Right? If you make it that far and you're still jacked, you don't mess with that guy, man, all right? But church, you see what I'm saying? I'm picturing, we got Kaz, he's on his way, man. He's gonna, no, that'd be weird looking at the picnic. No, don't do it there, bro, all right? All right, so, you know, Kaz is gonna walk in, you're 85, and he's gonna be like ripping his shirt. He's gonna flex, just gonna like Hulk Hogan, man. It's gonna be crazy, right? He's gonna, I'm a stone owl, as I was when I was 40, right? You see what I'm saying, church? But look it, I think that it's way beyond Caleb being physically strong, right? He says, I got to go take the Anakim out. That's the race that David came from, right? That Goliath came from, right, church? But I think that what Caleb is saying is, he says, I'm as strong in here now as I was back then. I'm as strong in my spirit as I was then. I'm as strong in my faith as I was then. This 40 years did not mess up what I saw. This 40 years didn't mess up what God said to me. God told me that I'm getting this land. And church, here's the deal, man, right? I looked up. I was like, man, how old was Caleb when he died? He's real old. I don't know. Some of those folks made a long time, amen? But you know what? The Bible doesn't talk about Caleb one more time after this right here. That's it. We don't know how old Caleb was when he died, but the bottom line is he's 85, man. You ain't got much time left, bro. If you make it to 120, church, these 10 spies and these people cost Caleb 45 years of living in the promises of God. 45 years, man. But he says, you know what God says to me, son? You're missing one little phrase, and that's what made Caleb do it. Because he says, the promise is not just for you, Caleb, but it's for your children forever. It's for your children forever. And I said, oh my goodness. It was last Sunday. I was sitting right here, and Pastor didn't say that, but I heard the Holy Spirit say it to my heart. He says, son, if you get your eyes on only what you're going to enjoy, you're going to see all that time that you missed and say, oh man, I've only got like 20 years left because I'm too old. And I'm going to be mad, and I'm going to be bitter, and I'm going to be upset about it. But he says, if you realize that you paid the price for your kids to get it and your grandkids to get it, you're paying the price for the next generation to get what you saw. That's how Caleb followed God fully. Yeah? See, it's not just about, we think following God fully is like somebody rolls in here in a wheelchair, we'll lay hands on them and they jump out and start dancing around. That'd be pretty awesome, amen? Praise God. Thank you, Buildy. We're waiting for it, amen, church? We think it's so awesome to say, oh, following God fully is like, oh, you know, I'm going to cross the Red Sea, you know, following God fully. I'm going to step in this River Jordan that's overflowing the banks. It's going to back up. Cool, all right, that's all this stuff. But you know what the Lord said to me, son? Following God fully is when you walk in faith every single day. You've got 16,500 days that you're going to wander around and you can see the promised land is right there, church. Study it out. They never went about more than 4 or 5 miles from the border of the promised land. 40 years, church. He's walking around and going, yep, there's my yacht. I was going to build a pool right there. Yep. Man, I hate these folks. I don't know. But he's waxing strong. The Bible says about Abraham, he says when he was counting his body as good as dead 100 years old and the dead of Sarah's womb, he says, yet in regard to the promises of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but he waxed strong in faith, knowing that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. Right? Said a few weeks ago, I'm almost done. That imagine, church, and the man, this is so good. Catch it again, church, because if you caught it last time, you're going to catch it again. Imagine if every day that went by that you didn't see what God promised you, you didn't think you're getting farther away from it. You think you're getting closer to it. 16,499, 16,498, 16,497. The Bible says about them wandering out for 40 years. Not only was there a pillar of fire and smoke, there was Stop and Shop chickens and toaster strudels and all this stuff. But the Bible says that their feet did not swell. Their shoes didn't wear. Church, 40 years, man. They're walking around with the same pair of Birkenstocks on the whole time. Their clothes didn't wear out, man. Could you imagine that, not having to buy clothes for 40 years? Lord, sign me up. Praise God. Man. Church, can you be as strong at the end of your delay as you were at the beginning of it? See, if I only look, if I'm only looking at what I accomplish, what I achieve, what I'll enjoy, or what monument I can claim is my work for the Lord, as the years go by and that project gets pushed back and delayed, my heart will be ripe for some evil stuff. But if I can see what God has said, if I can see his promise and purpose in my heart to head towards that promise, then I can rest assured that what I'm working in partnership with God to do, it will certainly come to pass. Even if I don't see it while I'm in my earth suit. Because you know what? If I hand over that baton, you know where I go, church? I'm sitting up in heavenly places with Abraham and Isaac and Noah and Moses, and I'm looking down and saying, all right, come on, great cloud of witnesses. You guys can do it. Come on, man. Come on, come on, come on. Church, that's what Hebrews tells us. There's this great cloud of all these Old Testament heroes are looking at us saying, come on, guys, you can do it. Yeah? I'm done right here. Let's all stand up. I'm going to shout one more time. And then we can clap our hands and get crazy. Pastor Al and Karen endured a lot of stuff. They kept plowing, they kept praying, they kept worshiping. They kept following God fully because they could see what God had said. See, church, I don't know about you, but I'm asking God for that same spirit. I'm asking God for a double portion of that spirit. Right? I'm not going to quit. I ain't going to back up. By God's grace, I'm not going to even whine anymore about stuff that doesn't go the way I want it to go. Anybody done whining about stuff? Come on. Because you know what? If we can start looking at what God said, God says, look, this is what I'm going to do. Church, I got a prophetic word from somebody this is so crazy. I'm almost done, I promise. Facebook message, this guy messages me the other day on Facebook. He came to this church 20 years ago. I never met this guy. He says, Pastor, I got to talk to you. So we met on Friday. I said, hey, what's up? He swears he knows me. I'm like, I don't know this guy. Never met this guy in my life. So he says, the Lord told me to come talk to Mark Taylor. And he's like, I thought I was crazy. And then the Lord told me a second time, both in dreams. And so then he says, he came here last Friday. I wasn't here. And he says, I said, well, Lord, what am I doing here? And the Lord says, the Lord spoke to me again. Go talk to my servant. I have a message for him. So we met yesterday or Friday. And I sit down with this guy. He says, man, this seems weird. I said, don't seem weird to me, bro. What you got? And I have this recorded on my phone, church. I'm going to play it for you at some point. I got to grind it out a little bit. But basically, the message was this. He says, brother, the Lord spoke to me and told me that this church is a revival center. That the wells of this church are not like the wells of Mara. If you don't know this church, in the Old Testament, there was this well of Mara Mara means bitter. The water in these wells was bitter. They couldn't drink it. And the prophet Elijah threw a stick in the water and it became sweet. And this man said, he says, brother, the Lord told me that this church does not have Mara wells in it, but it's got sweet wells in it. The wells are pure and clean. And he says, son, there is so much pollution out in the body of Christ today. There's so many wells that have been polluted with bad teaching and bad worship and bad stuff, right? He says, but not here. The Lord is saying, I am pleased with what you've done here. I am pleased with Pastor Al. I am pleased with you, son. I am pleased with what's going on here. The Lord says, there is revival coming to this house. Don't give up. Don't quit. Keep going. Keep the wells pure. Yeah? I was like, man, this is awesome. Why can't we do this every Friday? Praise God. Amen. So let's pray. Father, I'm going to declare something right now. Give us, we pray, just like Elisha asked for a double portion of Elijah's spirit, we're asking that anointing that you gave Pastor Al and Karen, that it bleeds down on us. That anointing to, we're going to fight. we're going to believe. We're going to stand. We're going to plow. We're going to work. We're going to put our hands to the plow. We are not backing up. I pray that, Lord, you'd give us, every one of us, that vision to see what you see when you look at this house. Not what people can see, not what our culture sees, but what you see. Father, I decree and declare, God, that as you spoke to my heart this week, that we're almost done in the wilderness. We ain't gonna give up now. But Lord, I pray also, lastly, Father God, that we would start seeing that even if we're younger, Lord, I'm a younger guy, we got some young folks here, that we'd understand that this church is not about us. It's not about what I can accomplish here. It's about help. I need to help build what you have called this church to be. Lord, I need to prepare this church. I need to help this church get ready to go beyond me. Lord, I pray that every one of us adopts, understands that mindset, God, that we're laying up an inheritance for our children and our children's children, that we're laying something up that's bigger than us. Father, I pray for every one of us that feel like we're in that wilderness place, every one of us that have suffered because someone else messed something up. Get that bitterness out of our heart. Get that out of our heart, God, because that's going to destroy us. Lord, I pray that every one of us would see, no matter what those people did to me, what you did is more powerful. The cross is stronger than whatever that person did to me. Your promises are stronger than whatever that person did to me. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness, for drawing us forward in your kingdom. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. Amen. God bless you guys. We're going to have, hang on 1 second, everybody. We are going to take up tithes and offerings here just after Doreen is done. We got a little word here. Amen.
Okay, we were in the prayer room earlier this morning. And when Pastor Al came in, I heard that that mantles were going to fall today, and that we're not to shrug them off, we're to embrace them. And he showed me that this was Elijah and the double portion and all that whole story. So I'm just really moved right now.
Amen. Well, you know, we're going to do this. I know I happen to know there's a couple families that got to leave. They've got some stuff to do. But, you know, church, if you feel you want to respond to that, right? So some confirmation there. We're going to be up here. A few of us leaders will be up here. We're going to pray for you. If you feel like that, so you're just saying, man, I'm tired of feeling like I'm in the wilderness. I'm tired of feeling angry. I'm tired of whatever. Amen. And you look and say, Lord, I need that. Lord, I want to break through. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. I want to invite you up. We're going to pray with you. We're going to lay hands on you and agree for that double portion, that fresh release from heaven on you. Amen. So won't you come? We'll pray with you. Get a couple of Kaz and Pastor Alan, Karen, if you could come up. Wandy, Doreen, come on up, girl. And just can you guys pray for folks? Pastor Dan and Phyllis, Bo, come on up, girl. Get up here. So come on up. If you'd like prayer, church, come on up. I need to pray for a couple of people myself. And so please come on up and we'll bless you in the name of the Lord. Amen.